Hi, and welcome to the Rachel Sellers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to providing free education about all things mental health. This podcast is about ending the mental health stigma and helping people cultivate a deeper awareness and understanding of themselves. Mental health education matters, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned and what I know. I'm your host, Rachel, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the first episode of the Rachel Sellers Podcast. Today, I'm going to be starting with something called the polyvagal theory. And that's something that you may have never heard of before. It's totally cool. I actually hadn't heard about it until pretty recently myself. I'm starting here for a very intentional reason. When I first discovered the polyvagal theory, it completely shifted my understanding of myself and people and why I do what I do, why you do what you do. And I really feel like knowing a part of this theory or knowing kind of a summary of this theory should really be a part of kind of normal adulting growing up. Okay, so understanding the polyvagal theory has also totally shifted my understanding of mental health, kind of gave me some real science and evidence to back up what I think my intuition has always known to be true. And that's that mental health is just not about the brain, but it's also about the body. Deb Dana is an amazing author and speaker on the topic of the polyvagal theory. And something that she says is, once you see the world this way, you can't see it any other way. And I really feel like that's been true for me. I tend to filter what I know about mental health through this lens. So today I'm going to explain to you just kind of a foundational understanding of what this theory is. So Dr. Stephen Porges, he's a behavioral neuroscientist, he's a very smart dude, professor of psychiatry and human development. He introduced this theory in 1994. His theory, the polyvagal theory, is often referred to as the science of safety or danger. And it postulates that everything is different in your body, physically, mentally, and emotionally, depending on how safe you feel. Why? It's largely because of how our autonomic nervous systems function. So, what is our autonomic nervous system? It's a system that controls a lot of our bodily processes, controls things like heart rate, blood pressure, digestion, and it's made up of a bunch of different nerves that branch off from the spinal cord and extend to all different parts of the body into different organs, like the heart, like the lungs, like the gut. So for the purpose of this conversation today, we're gonna zero in on a specific nerve that's a smaller kind of subset, a singular nerve that makes up this larger network of nerves. And the nerve that we're zeroing in on is called the vagus nerve. It's also referred to as a cranial nerve, which it just means that it's a nerve that connects your brain to other parts of your body. The vagus nerve travels from your brain stem all the way down to your gut. Fun fact, the word vagus in Latin actually means to travel, hence the name the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is unique in that it travels in two directions. So this nerve travels from the brain stem downward through the lungs, the heart, the diaphragm, and the stomach, and then upward to connect with the neck, the throat, the eyes, and the ears. Now, let me give you a visual. I want you to imagine those makeshift telephones that you might have made in elementary school, at least I hope you did, out of paper cups and string, one cup on each side, you know, attached by the thin, long string. One cup, I want you to think about one cup as being your brain. The other is your gut and some other organs in there too. What this illustrates, I want you to think too about how there's two strings, okay? So that might be a little bit different than the makeshift telephones that we made, but this is gonna be makeshift telephones polyvagal style. So one cup on each end, two strings in the middle, okay? What this illustrates is something called bidirectional communication. So one string represents the brainstem to the gut, and the other string represents the gut back up to the brainstem. what happens when our bodies sense something that is dangerous or makes us feel uneasy. The brain is like, this isn't safe. And then your heart is like, cool, let me increase your heart rate so you have what you need to protect yourself, like more blood in your muscles and in your brain. Another example of this would be, this isn't safe. Maybe it's a thought, or we'll learn later, it's not usually a thought first. It's a bodily sensation first before that becomes a cognition. Your body senses that something isn't safe. And your gut is like, cool, let's slow down your digestion right now, because that's not really survival. And it's not vital to your survival at this moment. I'm even going to make your pupils bigger so that you can see better. Why does this matter? The polyvagal theory illustrates why this happens. And what the polyvagal theory says is that everything is different in your body, physically, mentally, emotionally, depending on how safe you feel. That our brain is always talking with, you could say, our brain is in solid communication with the various organs in our body, and they're communicating with each other, they have walkie-talkies, let's just say, and they're communicating with each other, and they're talking kind of in two different ways. The brain says this is safe based on the environment. Different organs respond in different ways. The brain says this isn't safe. Those same organs, your heart, your lungs, your gut, are going to react differently than if the body perceives or senses safety. So stick with me here, okay? So the vagus nerve is part of a greater system, and it's one that you may already be familiar with, called the parasympathetic nervous system. There's another branch of your autonomic nervous system called the sympathetic nervous system, which actually isn't connected to the vagus nerve. Okay. Again, this vagus nerve is connected with the parasympathetic nervous system. There's another branch called the sympathetic nervous system, and that system is more concerned and works more with your adrenal glands and things like that. The vagus nerve plays a big part in parasympathetic nerve functioning. You may have even heard about these systems, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic system. Sometimes we talk about them in terms of fight, flight, or freeze, referring to the ways that our body reacts in the face of danger or trauma. So for a long time, scientists and medical professionals thought that we only had two kinds of nervous system responses. It was either the sympathetic fight or flight, or it was a parasympathetic freeze. But then in the late 90s, the polyvagal theory came along. And what Stephen Porges proposed, what he did was he introduced another nervous system response that was connected to the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic nervous system. I'm going to say that again. So we typically have always thought that we've had two nervous system responses, our parasympathetic freeze and our sympathetic fight or flight. What Dr. Stephen Porges did when he proposed the polyvagal theory is that he said, wait, there's actually another nervous system response that's connected to the vagus nerve. Remember, that's the nerve that runs from your brainstem all the way to your gut. And that nerve plays a big part in the parasympathetic nervous system functioning. So I'm going to pause there. If you're feeling lost, don't fret. I know this stuff can feel a little bit heady and overwhelming, especially on a podcast when there's not that many visuals. I'm going to recap this stuff, and I'm going to say it in a different way. So stick with me. Okay, so now that you guys are pros and professionals and know so much about the vagus nerve, now I'm going to talk a little bit more about the polyvagal theory. What the polyvagal theory posits is that there are three kinds of nervous system responses. One having to do with your sympathetic nervous system, and the other two having to do with your parasympathetic nervous system. Hence the name poly, meaning more than one, and vagal, which means wandering, in reference to that vagus nerve that goes from the brain to the gut. So the first response that the first type of nervous system response that humans have is called a social response. This is also called the social engagement system or the ventral vagal complex. Yes, I know in mental health, there tends to be so many different words for the same concepts. So I'm going to say that again. This is the social engagement system or the social response. And this is also sometimes referred to as the ventral vagal complex. This system is activated or responds when the body senses safety in the environment. So when the body senses safety in the different cues that I'm getting from my environment, from the people I'm around, then the system is activated and it enables us to be connected in social relationships, grounded in the here and now, in the present focused. This doesn't always mean that we're calm, and we'll talk about that more as we kind of break down the nuances of this theory. It does mean that we are connected and we are grounded when this response happens in our bodies. This response, the social response, is unique to mammals. It's unique to us. In other words, lizards don't have a ventral vagal complex, okay? So that is your first kind of option. You can think about these as options. Your nervous system has three options in the sense of the way that it responds to the environment. And this is the first one, that social response. The second one is that sympathetic nervous system fight or flight response. This system is activated or responds when your body senses danger. It responds by mobilizing or armoring up. Your body kind of turns into survival mode. All of us know what it feels like when this system is activated, because this is the system that's activated when we feel stressed or anxious. And if you're listening to this podcast, I would imagine that at some point in your life, you've experienced those things. Our third response is our parasympathetic freeze response. This is also sometimes referred to as the dorsal vagal system. And this system is activated when the body perceives extreme threat or danger. The body responds by collapsing. Think playing dead or playing possum. What we see with clients who are struggling with depression is often a very active dorsal vagal system, just kind of that sunken, kind of detached and just more collapsed presentation. Okay, so your nervous system has a lot of options in the way that it responds based on cues in the environment. And the three responses that I just described are kind of the body's three options. These responses are organized in a hierarchical way. So our social engagement system is the most evolved and complex, following the sympathetic system all the way to the dorsal vagal system, which is our most primitive system. Each of these responses or pathways react in service of our protection or our survival. Remember in the beginning how I said that the polyvagal theory is sometimes called the science of safety? Yeah, that's because everything in your body and your brain, because of that vagus nerve, is different depending on how safe you feel. Our bodies are always scanning for safety or danger, and they're acting accordingly. Sometimes I like to describe the autonomic nervous system as a surveillance system. This is a side note, but I think it's funny. I thought that one day it would be fun to dress up as the autonomic nervous system for Halloween and to just wear like a bodysuit with pictures of like surveillance system cameras and paste them all over. And then when someone asks what you are, then you can explain that you are a nervous system, or the autonomic nervous system, which is so nerdy. But I am a neuroscience nerd, and I am so not above doing this. So who knows? But I think that that metaphor, that visual of understanding that your nervous system has these tiny little cameras all over us, and they really do act as our surveillance system. So why does this happen? Why do we have a nervous system that acts in service of our protection and our survival? It's because our body was biologically designed to protect itself when it feels like it's being threatened. Okay, so you might be thinking, I don't exactly go about my day consciously asking myself, am I safe? Am I protected? Is this a safe place? Of course you don't. That's because before the brain, before your rational, logical, very mature part of your brain called the prefrontal cortex. So before this part of the brain makes meaning of an experience, your autonomic nervous system has already assessed the environment and initiated some kind of nervous system response. To say that simply, this happens unconsciously. And there's a fancy word for it that Dr. Porges kind of coined. And that word is called neuroception. Neuroception happens outside of conscious awareness, aka you don't know that your body is doing this, but it's doing it all the time. This happens, again, like I said, in the most primitive part of our brain. So we don't wake up in the morning and consciously say, today I'm going to use the mature parts of my brain to scan all of my environments for safety or danger. No, that would be kind of strange. Instead, our nervous system does this job for us. So I love the way that Dr. Porges kind of describes neuroception. And he says that it's how neural circuits distinguish whether situations or people are safe, dangerous, or life-threatening. It's sometimes referred to as detection without awareness. This is different from perception. We use that word a lot in our vocabulary. I'm perceiving something. Perception is detection with awareness. We're aware that we're perceiving something. Neuroception happens on a more unconscious level. Okay, so when the body neurocepts danger, the body shifts into a sympathetic activation or a dorsal vagal shutdown. I'm going to say that again. When our body neurocepts danger, the body shifts into either a sympathetic activation or a dorsal vagal shutdown. When the body neurocepts safety, it shifts into a ventral vagal response. Again, that's that social response. Another way of describing this theory and the autonomic nervous system is to say that it's like a compass. Our nervous system is, they're constantly orienting us. They're shifting us either towards engaging socially or mobilizing or totally disconnecting. And remember, this is unconscious. So you might be asking, why does Rachel think this theory is so cool? I think this theory is so cool and so important because it explains why we do what we do. Through this lens, we understand that our actions and our reactions to the world and to people around us are typically pretty automatic and adaptive, activated by the nervous system either in favor of protection or connection. I'm going to say that again. Our nervous systems are always kind of responding either in favor of protection, protecting us from a threat, or connection, connecting with people socially. I think sometimes that we give our prefrontal cortexes or our thinking part of our brain way too much credit. Now, they're pretty cool and they do a great job for us of like thinking logically and rationally. But so much of what we do and think and feel is not decided by that part of the brain, but is actually driven by our nervous systems and our limbic systems. Our limbic system is the part of the brain, it's in the middle of the brain. It's the part of the brain that's in charge of our behavioral and emotional responses. The polyvagal theory explains why, let's say, you're in your apartment, your home, and you're cooking a meal, let's say, and a plate falls off the counter and crashes on the ground. I say that as an example because it's definitely something that would happen because I'm kind of clumsy. What does my body do before my brain can even register that, oh, that loud noise was just a plate. It's okay, I'm safe. No, even if my prefrontal cortex knows I'm safe, my body, I still might gasp and my pupils might dilate still and my heart might start racing automatically because my body doesn't know that that was just a loud noise that came from a plate that I accidentally knocked over with my elbow because I'm clumsy. All that my body knows is that sometimes loud noises can be a signal of danger, And without any sort of thinking, my body reacted in service of my survival. In the event that that wasn't a plate, if that was something that truly was dangerous, then I can thank my body for that because it was responding exactly the way that I would want it to in case it was a true threat, something that I needed to react that way to. I'm going to give a ton more examples like that in the next episode as I kind of talk about what are some of the implications of this theory and kind of dig in how this applies to you, to your families, to your relationships. Stay tuned because I'm really going to dig into that in our next episode. But I want to say, you know, part of this mind-body connection, which we see so obviously spelled out in neuroscience, is still perceived as kind of this like hippy-dippy, fluffy stuff, which I guess I understand that if we were still decades ago and didn't have the research to support how absolutely true this stuff is. And so I think that part of my passion for teaching this stuff is to say this stuff isn't like this hippy-dippy, fluffy, like we all need to tune into our bodies kind of thing. We do need to understand our nervous systems, and understanding them can help us have much better mental health. Your body knows stuff before your brain consciously does. Your body is your first line of response. It's your biggest ally. And I think this has a zillion implications for mental health, especially when it comes to understanding relationships and understanding trauma. So a quick note here. Sometimes people come to think that certain nervous system responses, like the dorsal vagal shutdown or collapse, is quote unquote bad, and that the social engagement system is quote unquote good. No. So these systems have no moral value. And when we are truly in a life-threatening situation, we need our dorsal vagal system. We need all three of these systems, and wellness is achieved when they're working together. So before I end the segment, I want to do a quick recap of some of the more important points. I understand that sometimes this stuff can feel overwhelming, so I really want to do a good job of boiling it down into what's most important. Bullet point number one, you have an autonomic nervous system, and your autonomic nervous system acts as a personal surveillance system. Bullet point number two, two of the systems that make up your nervous system are your sympathetic and your parasympathetic nervous systems. Bullet point number three, within those divisions, there are three different responses or three different pathways that are activated and constantly responding on an unconscious level to various emotional signals. One of those has to do with your sympathetic system or branch. This branch responds to cues of danger and triggers our fight or flight response. The other two pathways have to do with your vagus nerve and your parasympathetic system. One is the social engagement system, or the ventral vagal response, which responds to cues of safety and social connection. The other is the dorsal vagal response, that responds to cues of extreme danger or life threat. Understanding how your nervous system works and learning to become curious about these signals and how your body might be giving you clues to what's going on a more subconscious level is an important part of cultivating better mental health. And I'm really going to dive into that into the next episode of the podcast. On this next episode, we're going to talk about the implications that this theory has for mental health, for the mental health field, and how understanding behavior, why we do what we do, through this lens, through the polyvagal theory, can lead to greater self-awareness and greater self-compassion. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you learned something new. Just a reminder that this podcast is about mental health and mental health concepts, and education about psychology and therapy is not a substitute for individual therapy. If you want to help this podcast grow and get it into the hands of other listeners, please subscribe, rate, or leave me a review. It really does make a difference.